2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
The invasion of Ukraine. Special coverage with David Dujanovic.
I want you to listen in Ukraine. What you heard is an air raid siren, followed by military jets overhead, and the headlines are stark. The news is horrible out of Ukraine as Russia has invaded. USA Today reporting right now that Russia intends to replace Ukraine government, according to U.S. officials, Dave.
Headlines that I'm reading right now from Fox News is the FBI is talking about the threats of Russia cyber attacks on the grid, on the power grid, and banks. And as we just talked to Chris Stewart, Representative Chris Stewart, who just barely joined us, he said they are fearsome. They have this ability. They have attacked us over the years and has largely gone unpunished. But we saw that when they shut down the gas pipeline last year, and very little has been done about it.
The fear I woke up to this morning is, could there be more? Could he march across the borders of Ukraine into Poland and other countries? And then Representative John Curtis, of course, of the 3rd District here in Utah, calling the show right out of the gates, talking about the veiled threat that President Vladimir Putin made about nuclear war.
It's not, I don't think it's veiled. And as a matter of fact, I'm over here in Belgium at the parliament with the EU leaders. And they're very, very concerned. And I would say there's another layer to that threat, which is some type of cyber attack on Europe, on Ukraine, on the United States, anybody who stands up for Ukrainians.
Joining us right now, Amos Giora, professor at the University of Utah, has been so generous with his time. Joining us from Israel, served 20 years in the Israeli Defense Forces, an expert in foreign affairs. Professor, thank you for joining us. I think as we see this actually happen, we see the explosions, we see the death. Is this where Putin stops? Does he stop at Ukraine, or is this just the first domino to fall?
First of all, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, in spite of the topic. First of all, I think we need to three things here in the limited time we have. One, from his perspective, he's not invading the Ukraine. This is, from his perspective, self-defense, because Russia has always viewed Ukraine as part of Russia. You and I view this as invasion. He views this as saving, rescuing, bringing Ukraine back into the fold. And I think if we view it that way, then the thought that he would take that next step into Poland on, I personally don't see it. But I think the world needs to understand that as a poker player, a chess player, Putin is just at a different level. And at the moment, it doesn't seem to be that the sanctions are working or the veiled threats are working. He's locked into this. And the pictures that, we're all watching, the pictures are absolutely of war. This is war. This is what war sounds like. This is what war looks like. It's ugly. People are dying. More people will die. We also have to be careful with fake news in terms of what's accurate, what's not accurate. But the pictures clearly show a leader, in this case Putin, who absolutely has made a decision. From his perspective, rational self-defense. that to bring Ukraine back into the fold, how many ever Ukrainians are killed and whatever damage he does in Ukraine, absolutely, from his perspective, legitimate. Full stop.
Ukraine's president Zelensky offered citizens who know how to use a gun, said, I'll give you a gun if you want to help fight. Is that, I mean, you know this area of the world a lot better than Dave or I do. Is that just fruitless?
The difference between the Ukrainian army and the Russian army is enormous. The Ukrainians aren't in a position to really respond. I mean, that's also a reality. It's a large country, but not like Russia. This is not equal forces here at play, which then raises the question, what will the West do and what will America do? And it seems to be, at the moment, talk, sanctions, but not more than that. So I just did not see the NATO Secretary General not exclude the possibility of military involvement, but I'm not really sure what that means.
Does this type of guerrilla warfare do anything other than just get people killed?
This is not guerrilla warfare. It's a war.
If the Ukrainians, I should say, if they are arming everyday citizens and asking them essentially to rise up against this organized Russian army, would that not be considered?
I don't really know what he's saying. No, because in Ukraine, there's a Ukrainian army. I'm not really sure what he means in terms of arming civilians. I don't know if that's a way to galvanize the public or not. But there's a Ukrainian army that is entrusted with defending the Ukraine. Arming citizens, I'm not really sure what the intended purpose of that is. It's pretty clear that the battle, the war, is happening solely in the Ukraine. We see the buildings being attacked, bombed from air, Russian troops coming into the Ukraine. This will all happen on Ukrainian territory. But the first question you asked was, will Putin go west from Ukraine? You know, one would absolutely hope not, because I don't think that he's ever seen Poland as part of Mother Russia. But Ukraine is, from his perspective, he's just bringing it back into the fold.
Professor Giora, we've got about 30 seconds left. I want to start this question with how I started this conversation, with a headline from USA Today. Russia intends to replace Ukraine government, U.S. official says. Is that Putin's ultimate MO?
That sounds fairly reasonable. But I think that's, from his perspective, sure, replacing with someone who is part of Mother Russia. I think from his mindset, that makes utter sense.
Professor Gior, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your insight.
Straight ahead in the 10 o'clock hour, we have a complete lineup of continuing our wall-to-wall coverage right here on KSL News Radio of the developments in Ukraine. As you heard in the 9 o'clock hour, a live phone call from Representative John Curtis, Representative Chris Stewart calling the show. In the 10 o'clock hour, we've got a live report from ABC News, a reporter standing by live in Paris to bring us the latest of what she knows on the developments in Ukraine, as well as a professor at the Utah Valley University, a professor of Russian Integrated Studies, is calling the show live. There is a list of questions that we want to ask him, including this question. Are Russians, the citizens of Russia, buying in to Vladimir Putin's words? We'll continue our discussion in the 10 o'clock hour.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.